morning and welcome to the American Journal. It's the first episode of 2026, and we're excited that you're all jumping on board with us today. Welcome to the show. All right, we got a lot going on over here. Specifically, though, in recapping some of my favorite interviews. Now, we're going to dive into that in a little bit. It's important as we say goodbye to 2025 and step into the new year that we reflect on the good. I mean, there's a lot of negative going on all around the world, but I want to make sure we reflect on the good. Liz Harrington joined me to do just that. We did like a little countdown of our favorite Trump moments for the first year of his second term. And there is a lot of positive that we could reflect upon. So we're going to kick that off with Liz Harrington. We're also going to be speaking with Matt Tardio because there's a lot going on foreign-wise all across the world. And obviously Iran, in Venezuela, in China, Taiwan. So much happening. We want to make sure you see it all, of course. And Matt's joining us to do the deep dive into that. And I know we have Matt on the show. You guys really do enjoy his talking. I was going to say talking points, but that sounds really bad. You guys enjoy his information. And I think that's really important. Matt does a great job at dissecting, going through the history of things and trying to understand what the actual meaning to things are rather than what's being fed to us in the mainstream media. And that's what we like about him. So he'll be joining us in a bit. We'll also be joined by Aaron Wright. Now, Aaron Wright, I'm a little biased because I do like the guy a lot. He's running for Texas AG. But what makes Aaron different is, number one, he just recently left the DOJ under Pam Bondi to take on what he's hoping is maybe his new position. He's running for Texas AG, and he is one of the very few people, number one, who doesn't have a political background in this race, which is a good thing. We don't really like politicians. But secondly, he's been endorsed by Ken Paxton, who is by far the best AG that we've ever had in this country. I'm just going to throw it out there. I don't think I've ever seen a fighter like Ken Paxton, and Ken Paxton's getting behind Aaron. So that's why we're going to have him on the show today to discuss in studio the Islamic threats, because that's something that he's been front and center on. And he hasn't been waiting to see if the polling numbers are positive on this issue. This is something that he truly, truly does support, and that is defending Texas from this Islamic invasion. And he's going to be here to detail that. We'll also be joined Harrison Smith, the Epstein files. Yeah, those were a big disappointment in 2025. As you remember, you know, we had Pam Bondi go out there and promise us we were going to get the files. Well, unfortunately, she wasn't very transparent. And you know what happened? Well, a group of Democrats and a small group of Republicans got together and pushed forward legislation that President Trump signed into law. And we've slowly, drip, 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 have seen the leaks, the information coming from that. But it's not what we expected. So Harrison joining us in studio to react to what we've seen thus far. Again, a lot of heavy redactions, but it wasn't what was in the bill, what was allowed to be redacted. The victim's information was allowed to be redacted. Unfortunately, the DOJ is blocking a lot of critical pieces of information from getting out there. And Harrison's joining us to discuss. Rob Manson is also going to be on the program as well as Michael Cargill. We had Michael Cargill in studio. And if you don't know who he is, you're really missing out because he does great posts on X. His videos are hysterical. I truly do love them. It's like a two-way humor. So he's obviously a Second Amendment advocate. He's a winner when it comes to Second Amendment rights. In fact, he's sued the government multiple times and he's won. And I learned that he's actually suing my former home state, New York, because they are trying to infringe on the Second Amendment. And Michael Fighter, he's like, no, you're not going to infringe. And he's now suing. So he jumped on a massive lawsuit. He joined us in studio to give us an update on that. Plus the crime in Austin, Texas. As a small business owner who owns a gun shop here in Texas, he is constantly having to fight back on all the crime. And there's a lot of them. I mean, they're constantly trying to break in to his shop. But there was one break-in, and he joins us to show us the surveillance footage that you're going to want to catch. So we got a lot happening here in just a moment. In the meantime, though, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com because over there, we just recently launched our beef tallow. So if you're somebody who is looking to start the new year off with a healthier version of you, ditch the seed oils, get yourself some beef tallow over at thealexjonesstore.com. It's packed with a ton of vitamins, and it is a healthier solution. I'm a person who loves making chicken parmesan at home, and you're going to want to do this the healthier way, and beef tallow allows you to do just that. So head on over right now, thealexjonesstore.com. While you're there, take a look. A ton of supplements also on sale as well. And now is going to be the time to stock up. So drop what you're doing, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now, and make sure you kick off the new year with a healthier version of yourself. All right, like I mentioned, we got a ton to talk about. We're stepping into 2026, optimistic, of course, but we're getting ready to expose so much more of the truth. So don't go anywhere. There's more to discuss in a second.
Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
With your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
All right, welcome back, folks. I'll be taking your calls in about 24 minutes, roughly. So if you'd like to join the show, talk about a topic we've discussed thus far, the number is 877-789-2539. That is 877-789-2539. Join the show and give us a call. We'll do our best to get to everyone. I know yesterday I tried. Getting to all the callers, but unfortunately we didn't, but we're looking to meet that goal today. So it's 877-789-2539. We'll be talking a lot about the foreign policy going on right now over the White House. And as many of you guys know, the White House really buckling down when it comes to the countries that have funneled fentanyl into the United States. And, you know, President Trump has made it clear that he does deem Venezuela as a big perpetrator in that. Now, although a lot of people tell you that about 10% of the fentanyl that breaks, well, that comes into our country, is from Venezuela. It's not the largest. It's not the largest place that's sending their fatal fentanyl into the U.S. But President Trump still focused on the regions. And yesterday in clip 11, he admitted, which I believe was originally a CNN report, he did admit that, well, the Trump administration did lead strikes on the ground in Venezuela. Take a listen.
Well, it doesn't matter, but there was a major explosion in the dock area where they load the boats up with drugs. They load the boats up with drugs, so we hit all the boats, and now we hit the area. It's the implementation area. That's where they implement, and that is no longer around.
Is that the only strike that the U.S. has done?
I don't want to comment.
At least the president.
All right, joining me to discuss is Matt Tardio. He's a veteran and he's also a podcast host. And he's been following all things Venezuela and he is with us right now to do just that. All right, Matt, we got a lot to work through. It's not just Venezuela we're talking about. It's also Iran. There's an uprising going on there that we'll get your take on as well. Nigeria and then Taiwan and China as well. So we've got a lot to dive into. But the Venezuela thing caught a lot of wind yesterday when the president made those statements. Your reaction to the president's comments?
Yeah, I'm not even quite sure that we actually ended up bombing them. You know, we authorized black ops over inside of Venezuela, what, like a month ago, maybe? Mm-hmm. And the president even didn't directly state that that's what happened. And have you seen the footage on the ground that actually took place over there? No. It doesn't necessarily look like a bomb went off.
Yeah, no. I think there was another clip, too, where he said it. But Matt, I'll go with you on this one. I think there was another clip where he might have said it. I'll dig into that because I think it was supposed to be a different clip and it might be the wrong link. But there were reports, and I think it was CNN initially that reported that we were responsible for it. But again, it's CNN, so
saying we're responsible for it. Yeah, I'm not arguing the fact that the United States is responsible for it. I'm arguing over how it was actually conducted, what actually went down on the ground over there, right? Because the United States has several ways of getting things done, especially when you start looking at sabotage and you look at all of these different operations, especially in a denied area like Venezuela where people would be operating over there. So, I mean, there's lots of different ways to go about it. Maybe that's why Trump didn't want to actually come out and be like, yeah, we blew him to hell. You know, we were very proud of what we did over in Iran. So I don't understand why we'd be so secret about what we did here, unless there was an alternative way that we went about conducting that operation.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we're going to keep our eye on it because, I mean, it seems to be heating up in Venezuela. Everyone who I keep talking to keeps telling us to keep our eye on the region. Again, I mean, it just seems to be a situation that's ongoing, but also a lot of people want an explanation as to why we're so focused on Venezuela specifically. A lot of people are fearing that this is just a regime change push. And again, I do strongly think that that is likely the case. But again, we're just going to keep our eye on it. Let's talk about Iran right now. Because Iran, there seems to be an uprising in Iran. And this kind of screams CIA to me a bit. But obviously, the president making it one of his other focuses of many is to obviously get the nukes out of their hands. We saw that all play out earlier this year. But most importantly, now we're seeing that all over Iran is these uprisings and these protests, which is something that's not supposed to really be happening in Iran. Break down the latest that's going on in the region.
Yeah, it's pretty convenient timing, I think, you know, between Iran and Venezuela. Mm-hmm. I think the last time I was on your show, I actually talked about this, how you have the IRGC that's, you know, piloting these ships that's selling the Venezuelan oil up over into China. Mm-hmm. And what we did was we went after the IRGC's funding when we started taking those ships out, right? Like that goes against their nuclear program or their uranium development program, that goes against their ICBMs, that goes against them going out and, you know, funding people like the Houthis and Hezbollah. And so the rial's crashing. As a result of all of the sanctions that the U.S. has been putting against them. And the inflation over there is just out of control. You know, people can't afford anything, so they're rioting in the streets. And at the same time, we had Netanyahu speaking with Trump. And this is what, like 2 weeks now where he's been bringing this up, saying that we got to start going after Iran. We've got to pay attention to them. We might need to start bombing them again, trying to push Trump in that direction. And the interesting part about it is Netanyahu went to Trump before, right, this big uprising ended up coming out. But we had signs of this uprising last month. We had numerous videos that were circulating online of Iranian officers that came out and defected and urged the people to do exactly that, like to rise up and to start defecting. And then we had Mossad X accounts yesterday that ended up coming out, basically saying that they were with the people on the ground and it's something that's being pushed over there. So it kind of makes me wonder if all of this stuff isn't orchestrated. When we look at what's kind of taken place in the past, it's not absurd to me that we would go back and we would bomb Iran again, because they've been pushing back really hard against the IAEA and the UN, you know, trying to reaffirm their right to peaceful uranium, you know, enrichment. But the problem is they enriched it all the way up to 87%, according to the IAEA. So this isn't like, you know, the U.S. coming out and stating that, listen, we've got evidence of yellow cake taking place over inside of Iraq. This is different. This is the IAEA stating that they're doing that. It's different. Undisclosed locations, you know, places that they were supposed to be reporting, but they weren't, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think even Trump ended up coming out with a statement that yesterday or the day before saying that we knew where they were continuing to with their uranium enrichment program. And there was rumors that was taking place at Fordow, the place that we had dropped those massive 30,000-pound bunker busters, those bombs that we designed for 20 years specifically just to keep Iran in check, mm-hmm. Because of Fordow. And Trump ended up stating that it's not at the same places, that they're doing it at new places, and we're aware of where these places are at. And if we need to, we'll go in and bomb the hell out of them. So I'm kind of with Trump on this one. Iran can't have it. But at the same time, I think you're right. You know, between either the CIA and Mossad kind of orchestrating this whole situation on the ground over there, and we've seen signs of it coming for months now. And it's very key timing between what we're doing over inside of Venezuela and what's taking place with Israel calling for new bombing operations. I don't think Iran's got the ability to respond with all of this different stuff going on.
Yeah, I don't think they do either. And I think that's probably one of the many strategies that they're utilizing right now and to make that happen. By the way, I knew I saw it somewhere. I just pulled it up. Eric Prince was my source on this one. So President Trump acknowledged that a CIA drone strike, which Eric Prince, he knows what he's talking about. So I trust him more than I trust CNN. I just couldn't remember where I read it this morning. About a week ago, to destroy Venezuela docks, allegedly used by Tren de Agua for drug trafficking exports. So that's where I saw it. I knew it was somewhere. I had to dig into that. But it's getting interesting. I mean, again, I sat back and watched as Netanyahu was over at Mar-a-Lago yesterday, and kind of figured that there was something spewing there. I think that they admitted that they had multiple things that they were talking about, but we only really heard about the Gaza peace deal angle to all of this. So we'll see how that plays out. But obviously the president supporting, so far he supported the big push to denuke Iran. So we'll keep our eye on that. Since there's so much going on in the world, I want to get your take on this as well. You know, we had a guest on yesterday who weighed in on Nigeria because he's been in the region. He obviously does a lot of work with the Christians over there. And he was ultimately saying that although it sounds good that in the northwest region of Nigeria that we did lead those ISIS strikes, and the photos, the aftermath do look bad, We're hearing reports, though, that there was no individuals actually killed in any of this. You've been following this extensively as well. What are you seeing?
So my initial question that comes to mind is why Nigeria and why are we bombing open fields, right? And it could be going after weapons caches and things of that nature that are hidden out in these fields, but that's drastically different than targeting the fighters themselves. But when you picture Nigeria and you picture, let's take this at face value and say the United States did in fact get intelligence from Nigeria, and we did go over and we did target different weapons caches that were over inside of these fields. They're right outside of those villages. Right. And so if we're going to bomb the ISIS fighters, essentially, at least in my experience, fighting ISIS and Islamic extremism, you'd be bombing the entire village. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, and I'm not saying that that's what the United States does. I'm saying that that's likely where the fighters are hiding at, and that they just walk out in the field and grab their weapons. And so by taking these out, you don't necessarily kill people, but you take out the weapons. But the real question is, why are we over inside of Nigeria to begin with? And it's all going to tie back over into China. It's going to tie back into Iran. It's going to tie back into everything, because China is being very heavily restrictive, especially on silver exports coming out starting on January 1st. They ended up sanctioning a bunch of the defense industry here in the United States of America. And that specifically is going to put a big hurt on us, because you're not getting any of those precision guided weapons without that metal. Over in Nigeria, you have a very large lithium deposit, and China ended up winning over the contract for that lithium deposit. They beat Elon Musk out. Elon ended up bidding on that lithium deposit and he lost. And the stated reason for Nigeria was Elon wanted to take a lot of the metal, but Nigeria has a law that says you got to keep, you know, the production and all of that stuff. Like, you basically have to build business in Nigeria, and China ended up doing that. Well, China's going to take that metal. They're going to bring it back to China, and they're going to start dominating that industry. And you're talking about potentially the largest lithium deposit over in Africa. So here we have Elon getting turned down 1 year. 2024, you have China getting approved, and all of a sudden we're concerned with Christians over in Nigeria. We're not concerned with them over inside of Sudan. We're not concerned with them over inside Syria, where al-Jalani's been murdering them left and right. Nope, we're just concerned with Nigeria. And instead of actually going after and killing terrorists, we're going to take out their weapons. So I find it kind of suspect, and I part of me wonders what it is that the United States government is actually up to over there.
Yeah, and Matt, I don't know if you recall, and this, I want to ask you about this. I remember in the first term, the president called out the genocide going on against Christians in Nigeria, but there was nothing actually done on the ground. But now we're seeing right. that there's movement. What do you think about that?
Well, again, why? You know, this is where my question comes in. Why just Nigeria?
Yeah.
You know, it's not like Islamic extremism isn't killing Christians left and right all around the world. We're just focused on Nigeria. So the question is, why Nigeria? And that is what I would implore people to kind of like look into and take a look. Sudan, you have Christians being murdered, like I said, over inside of Syria as well. And again, we partnered with a Al-Qaeda freaking terrorist in order to make that happen, you know, who is continuing to do these things. So what's going on? You know, Nigeria is very key, but at the same time, I have trouble thinking that it's just about the Christians in general. And at the same time, you know, right after we did those strikes, you have United States saying, no, we worked with the government of Nigeria in order to make this happen. And then what did Nigeria turn around and do? Well, they banned anybody with a U.S. passport from entering Nigeria. So if we are in such good partnership with Nigeria and taking out these ISIS terrorists, why did they turn around and do that?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Matt, I got a lot of questions in regards to that. I mean, I keep reaching out to the Pentagon, so I'm going to try to dig into this a little bit more. But I wanted to get your take on this, too, because this is obviously something that I see quite often. But you're telling me that this is different than times we've seen in the past in regards to Taiwan and China and about the military buildup, the Navy buildup surrounding Taiwan right now. Can you break down what's going on the ground and why you think that this is different from what we've seen thus far in the past?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's no secret that China has been wanting to take Taiwan for a very long period of time, very long period of time. And they've been escalating tensions over there in the region for a while. You know, last year we saw them even going over and running into boats. All sorts of stuff has been going on. And China themselves has been very smart over the last decade plus. You know, you're talking about a country that has literally built islands, declared them sovereign Chinese territory, and then pushed into international waters, claiming that as, you know, Chinese water, kind of controlling the waterways over there as well. And in my opinion, Taiwan is just kind of another step there. And when you look at the U.S. economy right now, where we're, you know, sitting at almost $39 trillion in debt, you're looking at a very depleted munition stockpile because of everything that we've been doing over the last, you know, 25 years, talking about the global war on terror. You're talking about Russia going in to Ukraine and the amount of United States weaponry that has been employed over there. And so our stockpiles have been down. And that's not even a secret. You know, even artillery shell. Joe Biden ended up, you know, screwing this up. during the earlier days with the war on Ukraine, we were condemning Russia for using cluster munitions. And then Biden turned around and supplied cluster munitions to Ukraine. And it was this huge thing. And Biden in his old age just ended up, you know, leaking, in my opinion, one of the biggest problems, you know, biggest national security issues ever, by screaming that we were out of 155 shells. So we just sent them cluster munitions instead. So that makes me kind of start questioning about what it is that we actually have in our national stockpile, because it's not like you can turn around and create new bombs. Mm-hmm. So I bring all that back to China by saying, if China was ever wanting to actually move on Taiwan, now's a pretty dang good time to do it. You know, we've got issues here at home to where everybody's focused on the deportation of illegal aliens. We've got this isolationist mentality to where we don't want to deal with anybody outside of the United States. You know, we want to pull out of the Middle East. We don't care about what's happening over in Europe with Ukraine. We don't care about Israel over here in the U.S. We don't care about all of these different things. So it's this isolation mentality. And the U.S. dollar is crashing. It's not doing very good. I wouldn't say crashing, but it's not doing that great. And so my question is this a good time for China? Because when you have a vast majority of their Navy encircling this island, you have them moving ICBMs into launchers up in the northern portion of China over by the Mongolian border. And then you had just earlier today an MLRS test that they ended up conducting that ended up splashing down in the water north of Taiwan. And so they are ramping things up and they are escalating. And I think what they're doing is, you know, basically trying to see how the United States government is going to react. And that reaction that you had where you were saying, well, we see this all of the time. And that's exactly the point. You know, if you want to go in and you want to, especially a country like China, you want to go in and you want to invade a country like Taiwan, you kind of want to soften it up a little bit. You want people to get used to these different military drills and military exercises. And when you look at what Russia did before they invaded Ukraine, they were conducting what? Military drills along the border with Ukraine. Right. And they ended up stacking 180,000, 200,000 troops. And Russia just stood by and said, no, we're conducting military drills. That's all we're doing is military drills. So, yeah, I mean, it's a cause of concern for me that China is escalating that nature and putting that much of their military firepower over around Taiwan while claiming military drills, because they're partnered really close with Russia. And it worked for them. Why wouldn't it work for, you know, China?
So, Matt, my follow up, I guess, would be more about the current leader. Obviously, Trump prides himself on being a much tougher leader and that foreign leaders do fear him. We saw a lot of the moves being made. I saw a lot of the moves being made under the Biden administration. And I think a lot of us in the media were critical, thinking that China would make the move with Biden because he is softer, obviously, when it comes to foreign policy and being able to utilize our military. I mean, he completely decimated with DEI and other tactics. So why do you think, I mean, ultimately they would make this move now, given the fact that President Trump has built our military up over a short time? He's definitely strengthened it while Joe Biden completely weakened it.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely strengthened it. And Xi's not stupid, right? Xi's not going to do something where he doesn't have a good guaranteed outcome. But it's not just about, you know, the way the Secretary of War has been moving and increasing our military. You got to understand that, you know, prior to Biden, you had Trump, but before that, you had Obama, right? And all of that combined over time, you end up having people that are rising up through the ranks inside of the military, and they get put in these different positions in these different slots. And there is resistance that is still living within the military. And just because you bring in a new Secretary of War, just because you announce that we have brand new recruiting, because you have all of these things, that doesn't mean diddly squat when you have leadership that's within the United States military that is counter to the direction that we are trying to move as a country and to be coming, making it stronger. You know, we have been focused for what, 20 plus years on this global war on terror. And what we failed to realize that was while we were focused on this global war on terror, we have massive countries like China and Russia that are focused on these different types of near peer conflicts. Mm-hmm. And so our military was trained and focused for so many years on global war on terror, on counterinsurgency and things of that nature. And we saw this shift over the last couple of years of them going back and saying, you know what, we need to get back to the basics. We need to just start doing very, very basic things. We need to learn how to enter and clear a trench again, right? These are things that were long forgotten within the military, and we haven't been doing it either. And the interesting part is China and Russia have been partnering up together. North Korea obviously has been sending troops over, you know, to Russia, getting experience over on the front line as well. And all of that's information that's kind of being passed back. If we were to take the U.S. military and put them on the front line over inside of Ukraine, for example, that is a completely different conflict, something completely different that we just quite frankly aren't used to, right? That we haven't been doing. And there is practical experience to be learned there. And that on-the-ground experience, in my opinion, is way more valuable than anything we could ever train or drill on over here in the United States of America. Yeah. One thing that we are really good at is combined arms, right? And this is where Ukraine's kind of lacking, and Russia is severely lacking is this combined arms aspect, meaning that we're going to use our armor, we're going to use our artillery, we're going to use air power, we're going to use our sea power, right? We're going to use all of these things and bring them to overwhelm the enemy on the battlefield in the correct timing in order to close with and destroy. And when you look at what kind of this conflict over with China, well, we've got something completely and totally different. We've got an island that we're worried about over in Taiwan. When was the last time the Marine Corps was used in that manner, right? When was the last time the United States Army was conducting amphibious assaults? You know, these are things that are completely and totally different, right? That our United States military isn't exactly used to.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, Matt, we're going to keep our eye on this. There's a lot going on. And we look forward to keeping up with your work because you're the one who's following a lot of this. So folks at home right now, if you want to give him a follow on X, make sure you do just that. Anger Tab is the easiest way to find him over on Twitter. You do a great job at outlining everything. So, Matt, thank you for joining me. I appreciate your time as always.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thank you. Thank you. It's always a pleasure. All right, folks, I wanted to bring this to you because this is very, very interesting. You know, Scott Turner, he's speaking out in regards to housing fraud. He's the individual responsible for, he's the Secretary for Housing and Urban Development. Now, he claims he's just uncovered a massive amount of fraud. Take a listen to clip 15.
You know, during the Biden administration, there were over 12 million illegal aliens that came over the border, straining our housing supply and making the costs go up. And so we worked with Secretary Noem at DHS, as you alluded to make sure that only American citizens are living in HUD-funded housing. We also took away FHA-backed mortgages from illegal aliens during the Biden administration. They turned a blind eye. But we're going to keep the law to make sure that these mortgages, which are backed by the taxpayer, go only to the American people. And lastly, we are mandating that every public housing authority give us a comprehensive account who's living in every unit in taxpayer HUD-funded housing.
Wow. Another, Ashley Davis, another impact of that wide open border. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And there's a lot. There's a lot of impacts due to that wide open border, thanks to the Biden regime. And still, in case you're wondering, no one's been arrested. No one's been arrested. No accountability so far from this new administration. Very unfortunate. All right, folks, we're taking your calls. So if you want to join the show, give us a ring right now, 877-789-2539. That is 877-789-2539. We're talking to you. We're going to go through the news cycle, obviously, and keep adding extra stories and throwing them out there, giving you updates and everything you want to see. But we also want to hear from you on the stories we've done thus far. So again, the number is 877-789-2539. And we'll get to that in just a little bit. We'll also be getting to other stories as well. There was this Nick Shirley video that he, and I don't know when he taped this, but I just saw it. I think it's actually a great video. And it is very unifying. It's very unifying. So we'll play this in a bit. It has to do with a Black Christian speaking out against those who are moving into his community, and specifically those are Muslims, and why he thinks it's very important for everyone to jump on board and get vocal on this issue. So we'll play that clip from Nick Shirley in a bit. We'll also be diving into, we'll dive in and out of it because it's quite long. You know, Mike Benn's a good friend of mine. He does an incredible job at doing these deep dives. He did a 2-hour video that he actually just made. He took it off from the paywall so you could actually see it now. But I clipped a couple of the most insightful parts of all of this where he's digging into the USAID paying journalists. As many of you guys know, that's probably the biggest story, I think, so far on my side of all of this in 2025. It's definitely top 10 for me. So we'll play Mike Benz's deep dive in just a little bit as well into that. So a lot happening in just a few moments. Don't go anywhere in the meantime, though. We got buy one, get one free on select supplements over at thealexjonesstore.com. So if you're looking to focus in on your health, improve your health, now is time to head on over to the shop. There are so many incredible items, including the Atomic Defense, Ultimate Burn, MK Ultra, and so much more. Buy one, get one free at thealexjonesstore.com.
Let me tell you about this. Our sponsor, Bigly, and the products they have at thealexjonesstore.com are whatever the highest source, best quality, highest rated products are, we go out and private label them, and in some cases, soup them up and make them even better. So we did a year ago a survey, what do listeners want? And you wanted methylene blue. You wanted beef tallow that Kennedy talks about, which I know is great for cooking and is so much better for you than seed oils. And you wanted high-quality Shilajit. He brought you all the best. They've sourced the best. This is so heavy. This is so huge. Tiny little scoop of this with whatever you're cooking makes it taste so great, whether it's potatoes, whether it's eggs, whatever you're cooking. Beef tallow is so delicious. This is concentrated beef tallow, private label from the top ones in the country. No preservatives, no artificial ingredients, gluten-free, packed with nutrients. Unlike seed oils, which are fake toxic garbage, beef tallow is real food that promotes whole body health. Get 25% off now when you become a subscriber today and then lock in a bigger discount. You can cancel anytime for free at alexjonesstore.com. Beef tallow has been all the rage. It's what the listeners asked for. We've got the best for you right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And separately, creatine of the highest quality type of creatine, 5 milligram gummies, huge container of them. Look into neurological studies, Alzheimer's, you name it. It's so good for young people, old people. Everybody needs it. Got it, 2 flavors, thealexjonesstore.com. And it's your funding this operation that makes it all possible. I need your support. I am funded by you. I am supported by you. And I'm battling the Democrat Party law firms that have been trying to shut us down, and we've been winning thanks to your support. But it takes money to fight this war. So don't wait. Get our creatine gummies. Get the new incredible beef tallow. Just as amazing or more is the bovine colostrum. The first 2 weeks from cows. Milk is the ultimate combo of super nutrients. You name it, for your immune system, your clarity, your focus, your hair, your skin, your nails. It's crazy. These are the best products. These are amazing. They will change your life. TheAlexJonesStore.com. And if you're going to buy anything there, become a VIP. $30 a month. Cancel anytime for free. The minute you become a VIP in your profile, you get $40 to spend instantly, making $10. Special deals, special offers, special sales on everything. So if you're buying anything at TheAlexJonesStore.com, become a VIP. Cancel anytime. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thank you for standing with us. We'll never back down, never give in, but we could give out without your support. So you are the reason we're still here, and I thank you and salute you for it. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Welcome to TheAlexJonesStore.com, the home of real solutions. Fuel your day with Ultimate Burn and Ultra Methylene Blue. Replenish and recharge with Ultimate Sea Moss or delicious Shilajit gummies. Stay sharp, stay stylish with our t-shirts and sweatshirts. Perfect for any season. Don't wait. Tap into real gear and real supplements at TheAlexJonesStore.com. Power up today.
Force filled with incredible ingredients, ladies and gentlemen. Ultimate Power ignites mental clarity and focus, clean, sustained energy, enhanced blood flow and endurance, supports daily cognitive function. Ultimate Power at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're jumping on board with us today for the final day of 2025. And we're going to, you know, do a countdown of our favorite, my favorite, personal favorite, moves the Trump administration made so far this year. And we'll also be joined by Liz Harrington in just a bit as well, who's going to break down her favorite 2025 moments. Can't even speak, but that's typical for a New Year's Eve celebration. But listen, Liz is going to be here in just a second. We're going to dive into that. I wanted to talk about the fraud, though. We gave you the update at the beginning of the show in regards to what the Trump administration is doing to buckle down on the fraud. It's not just happening at the daycare facilities in Minnesota that are owned by Somalians. There's also a lot of healthcare centers and a lot of healthcare providers that are being called into question. Now, Nick Shirley has been boots on the ground in Minnesota, knocking on doors, asking simple questions of like, hey, can I get health care around here? And the kid hears crickets. Take a listen to clip 11 and how that went for him just a few days ago.
A list of all of the healthcare companies, loads of them right here. We want healthcare.
No, it's okay.
Yes, we'd like to speak about getting healthcare here.
No.
Why can't I get healthcare here?
No, wait.
Warning, you are under video surveillance, no trespassing, security armed. This is the strangest place I've ever been to get healthcare. Just a bunch of different places. Healthcare here, healthcare right here. Another healthcare company right here. There are three healthcare companies inside of this building right here in this room of 7C.
All right, so you can't assume that there's fraud going on here, but I'd say it's a little suspicious. Joining me to discuss, the former spokesperson for President Donald Trump, Liz Harrington, joins us now, and it's an honor as always to have her on the program. All right, Liz, you are the master when it comes to uncovering a lot of the fraud, specifically election fraud. We'll get to that in a little bit, but we're seeing all this financial fraud right now get uncovered. It is not just the daycare facilities that are being ran by Somalians that they're digging into right now. It's also the healthcare providers. Now, there's been several reports in the local news world about this going on for a couple of years now, but it's finally getting national attention, which I love because of the great work Nick Shirley's doing. So we just heard from the White House, the press secretary coming out, and Caroline Leavitt saying that we're looking into denaturalizing a lot of these Somalians potentially, as well as pulling now the funding from a lot of these programs. What do you make of the response from the administration thus far?
Well, that certainly sounds like great news. I think President Trump himself has been all over this for a while, even before the Nick Shirley video went viral. Mm-hmm. And that was going to be one of my top five just Trump moments of his rant against the Somali refugees, so-called refugees who have just been ripping us off, robbing us blind. But so that's great news. I think he'll be pushing for a lot of action. I think the key question is, will the FBI deliver? That is certainly an open question. Congress is going to do some hearings and they'll send some letters. But look, a lot of these people themselves are responsible for these policies. I mean, I heard that Tom Emmer is one of these representatives. He's in Republican leadership. He co-founded the Somali caucus in Congress. I mean, he's a Republican who was pushing these types of programs. So we have to clean this kind of stuff up. But when I first heard about this and saw these videos, this great reporting, it really took me back to my former life, my old days of, you know, scouring through these federal documents and looking for waste, fraud, and abuse, and it certainly wasn't hard to find. And that was like during the Obama years. And it's just amazing that this has gotten to this scale, though. I mean, there always has been this kind of, you know, funny, wasteful spending, research grants, and everything like that. But now it's at a level that the entire program is a fraud. I mean, this, and when I see this, they go to the addresses and there's nothing there. The daycare centers, there's no kids. The learning center that can't even spell learning. And this really tells me we need to not just look at Minnesota. We need to look everywhere because this has got to be going on. And it's just in broad daylight. And nobody's done anything about it. And, you know, they like to say, oh, there's been 99 indictments. That was for like the COVID era fraud, which I'm sure alone looking at the COVID money where they put the turn the spigot on and so much of our hard earned money was wasted. That alone is a huge scandal. But nobody's still, where is, you know, the perp walk? Where is the huge press conference? Where is, you know, the raids? And you had people by Biden's DOJ and FBI raided and had their Declaration of Independence and copies of the Constitution confiscated. And those were the raids that were going on in the Biden years. And we can't even get, you know, raids of this type of criminal activity. That's what we need to see if we're ever going to have a hope of shutting this stuff down.
Yeah, Liz, I was digging into the DOJ and the FBI's response to this. And as you just said there, the indictments came down. The investigation was launched in 2022 into the COVID fraud, which was related to a bill that Ilhan Omar pushed herself, of course. But I'm sure that's not related at all. But I was told that the investigation into a lot of the Somalian fraud was actually taking place. It started under the Biden administration. Then apparently it was stopped under the Biden administration. And then I was told that Kash Patel directly pushed for it to be relaunched and to looked into again. So there's been new, obviously, convictions that have come from all of this. So that's at least a sense of relief. But yeah, I would say it's deeply concerning. This is something that's been going on for many, many years now. There was a local news report back in January of 2025 that was highlighting the fraud that they were finding in Minnesota as well. And so this seems to be an ongoing issue. And we have a right to ask these types of questions. And it's not just the daycare facilities. We're seeing, we played a couple of videos in the open of the show. There are the assisted living facilities. They're just people's homes, and they're claiming they have patients in their homes. And then when they ask, like, hey, how many people do you have living here? We don't have anyone living here. And they're openly telling these cameras that they don't have anyone living here. And so there's a lot more to dig into there. So we look forward to them uncovering this. But I wanted to get into something else. This is your specialty. You have been for many years now focused on getting to the bottom of the election fraud throughout this country, specifically in Georgia. Now, I'm told that Georgia is a Republican-led state. And so something like this is common sense that you would think that they'd push forward with and to make sure that their elections are safe and secure. But it's not really a top priority for them. And as we look at Fulton County, we see that what we were told didn't happen. And well, it looks like it happened. As we head into 2026 and we start gearing up for these midterms, what are some of the top priorities you want Republicans to take on? Because our elections are not safe and secure.
It's got to be the number one priority. I mean, to me, nothing else can be changed. Nothing else ultimately will be changed for the better in the long run if you don't have a free and fair election. And that's got to be the top priority. And we have to get rid of the system as it currently stands, the electronic systems, the mail-in ballots, the counting for weeks past election day, the voting for 60 days before election day. It is so open to fraud. And, you know, you mentioned Georgia, and that's the really sad thing about all of this is those Republican officials sitting at top of that state government, they want nothing to do with this. Why? Because they rig their elections too. They have rigged primary after primary. And you had Brian Kemp, who's got booed at the state GOP convention in 2022 and yet was able to beat his challenger, which was not a nobody. It was David Perdue, a former senator, by 50 points in his primary. I mean, and nobody ever even looked into it. I mean, you knew it was not legit. I'm not saying that Perdue necessarily would have won, but those numbers were just absurd on its face. I mean, none of the polling suggested a 50-point blowout from a former high-profile senator. It's just absurd. And you saw the same thing with Raffensperger. He got just above to avoid a runoff, the 50% threshold, when he was polling below against, again, not some no-name challenger. It was a former congressman, Heiss. So, and he's able to stay in office. And so these people are corrupt and they've been allowed to use the system that has benefited them. So they certainly don't want to change it. But I'm so happy to see the rest of kind of the Twitterverse or Xverse, whatever you want to call it now, getting onto the Fulton County story, because it's, you know, this is kind of information that has been out there and we've been pushing out there for years now, but now Fulton County has admitted that the 2020 election, 315,000 votes, they didn't dispute the fact that none of those were signed and witnessed to. That is the entirety of the early voting votes in 2020. And it's because they had to remanufacture them. They didn't have the votes for Joe Biden. And this is one piece of evidence when you take it with everything else that they've uncovered, a lot of these great Patriot private investigators down in Georgia looking into this for years, it was quite obvious that they never had the results. So they had to manufacture them. So that's why none of the paperwork matches. They had to calculate the votes, tabulate them on different machines than so-called voted that they were voted on.
And then you had tabulators that did not even exist. I mean, so it's not just you had Stephen Richer, a corrupt official from Maricopa, coming to Fulton County, their brothers in arms, right? Their defense, saying, oh, no, no, this isn't a fraud. This is just like if you go to McDonald's and they don't give you a receipt and then you somehow say that's a fraud. I said, no, no, no. What happened in Georgia was Georgia ordered a Big Mac and instead they got a McChicken. And then they were handed a receipt that said they had always ordered a McChicken and you're just insane. There was never a Big Mac. That is how fraudulent this whole thing was. And that's why there's so much evidence. None of the machine count, the recount ever matched because they never had the votes for Joe Biden. And he's their McChicken.
Yeah. And that's you putting it nicely, actually. He is a McChicken, though. But, you know, Liz, when we talk about this all, it's so crazy to me because, like you mentioned, you've been talking about this extensively for years now and trying to get people's attention to the matter. And not just you, people who were legally representing the president of the United States, like Rudy Giuliani, have been covering this and trying to sound the alarms on all of this and do what the president's legal rights were at the time to go out there and try to challenge all of these local elections, the results that they were turning in, I guess you'd say. And he was met by a group of people who decided to, instead of proving that he was wrong in court and going through the facts and sifting through it that way, they targeted him. And the lawfare was just so overwhelming that he was pushed into bankruptcy because of it. And it's not just Giuliani, sadly, still. It's people like Jeff Clark, who actually didn't even send the letter that he was alleged to have sent. We now know 100%, which he's always said that he never sent the letter. But he was wrapped up into the Fulton County persecution as well. And then still to this day, right now in D.C., they're trying to just bar him. How do we make these things right? Because the lawfare, the process itself is very stressful, but the financial burden is completely bankrupting these people. So how do we fix this heading into the new year?
It's such an important question. And it's really one of the things I thought about too is, you know, this is why we need people like Giuliani and Jeff Clark in the current administration, people who actually had skin in the game, put their livelihoods on the line for the truth and have just been completely destroyed and attacked. And it's just been so horrible for what they've had to go through. And we have to make sure that the people that did that to them and the president and so many other innocent people, so many other innocent, you know, just supporters of President Trump, the people who are responsible for that, they need to go to jail. There has to be some accountability. And they need to break up, you know, after Charlie Kirk was assassinated, they said, we're going to break up this far left, you know, Antifa, the funding and all of that. And I sure hope they're working on that. But it's the same type of thing here. You need to go after the money. You need to go after the funding behind this lawfare, the people behind the Norm Eisens of the world. You need to approach it like they approached us and they made it all up. I mean, they're talking about RICO charges for tweets about watching OAN. I mean, that's what the case was in Fulton County, but they didn't care. They brought it anyway. We need to take that approach, but actually using the law, because there's so many laws that were broken. They did violate constitutional rights, and this was a criminal conspiracy so deep in spreading multiple states, and there's so many aspects of it, but you need to go to the heart of that. That's what needs to be broken up, and people really have to face accountability. And if we don't get that coupled with the fair elections, I'm so afraid that this will be squandered. All the work that President Trump put in, his life on the line, survived two assassination attempts. By the grace of God, he was able to come back and be the president again. And that is a gift. And we need to get the people under him to start taking it seriously and start, you know, acting as if the country is on the line, because it really is.
Yeah, Liz, it is. And as we head into midterms, too, I'm really getting frustrated with Republicans right now, because we do have a majority, even though it's a very narrow margin. We do have a majority. Unfortunately, they have just waited and waited this game out to pass legislation that would secure our elections on a federal level. And it's really upsetting. And again, we have MTG, who's retiring in just a couple of days, will be stepping away from Congress. And it just keeps getting thinner and thinner. And they just don't seem to really be moving on this, which I think is a massive disservice to the president. And I'd like to see him even get more aggressive and push back on this, because I think he's been very, very nice with what these Republicans have done so far. And it's not motivating voters to go out and support them. But, you know, we'll see as we head into the new year how Republicans truly feel, the voters at least, truly do feel about the party itself. But I want to focus on the positive things, because obviously President Trump, he is the busiest working man that I know of. So we have to give him credit when credit's due, and he's done a lot so far. So I kind of want to walk through my list a little bit. Actually, the first one, starting off with one of the best things, I think the most popular thing our government's ever done, that was creating DOGE and going after the reckless government spending. I've never seen something as popular as DOGE before, as we're seeing Nick Shirley's video blow up on the internet with over 100 million views as well. I think it's very obvious the American people are tired of the fraud and tired of their money going to foreign countries. And so I think that's the reason why they pushed so hard against Musk and really went after him as aggressively as they did. Now, DOGE, they claim, is no... It's within each department, but asking each department to vet themselves to make sure that money is not being misspent is not really the checks and balances that the people want to see. But when it comes to DOGE, what were your thoughts on this when they launched this?
Oh, it was incredible. And it was a dream come true. Again, as I mentioned, you know, my former life of just every single day writing about the ways fraud and abuse as a reporter, I did this for years. And I loved doing it. I loved exposing it. And to see, you know, President Trump coming back into office and every day, you know, he would give, you know, some remarks and he would just pull out a list of like, here's all the things we've cut today. And they were always like the most absurd things, you know, you've ever heard. And it's like, finally, this is so amazing. And it was so, it's such important work like that to be exposed. And you were talking about the Somali fraud and the welfare fraud and everything else. I mean, that's what this work is. As well, that to expose that sending an email. Hey, if you're an employee, send an email of the five things you did this week. And the reason they were doing that is because there's federal employees who don't exist. Just like you have the phantom voters, you have the phantom employees. And where is that money going? It's literally just being stolen. And so I think that work was so encouraging. I think it needs to be resurrected in year two. Because he came out so strong with USAID shutting down. I mean, that's something that was unheard of ever happening. Once you get these government programs and they just have a life of their own, right? And they just operate on autopilot. Nobody knows what they're doing. To shut something like that down, that was a huge achievement. I think, you know, you kind of take it for granted because it happened in the early days, but that is a huge deal. And they need to keep going with that in year two, I think, as well.
Yeah, no, I really want them to bring it back. And I think it's something that needs to be brought back. You know, we learned that millions of dollars was being shuffled over to, I believe it was Iraq, for Sesame Street. That was like the peak moment for so many Americans. They're like, all right, we've seen enough here. We've seen enough. Defund everything. And then Mike Benton, an incredible report too this year. It's one of my favorites, where he walks through how USAID was used to buy off independent journalists who were pushing propaganda for the government, for the regime. So yeah, I mean, so much uncovered in that I think is incredible. But you know, the president also did a great job so far at going out there and trying to launch the mass deportations commitment that he laid out during the campaign. One of my favorite moves, obviously, being the Remain in Mexico policy that he brought back. That was a big one. I know recently too, he's got the no travel bans countries that we're not letting into our country right now. We're holding off and waiting there. But then he's also got this was a good one. This was the individuals who want to self-deport. He's paying them thousands and thousands of dollars to self-deport. I think we're up to $3,000 per person now just for the holiday season as a nice little bonus for these people to get out of our country. But this saves the American taxpayers so much money rather than using the DHS sources to go out there and have to capture these people. So far, he's north of 2 million, which I think is a good start given the fact that the courts are overcrowded right now. And he's got to fill a lot of those seats, these judges and everything. And they're trying. I see the posts online. They're trying to hire these immigration court judges. So far, things look good for me when it comes to that. Your thoughts, though, on the immigration?
Again, a huge achievement, but also, you know, something that sadly had to take so many resources to undo, you know, the consequences of 2020 and a stolen election. But that is something that they worked on really fast. They closed the border down. Again, proving that the whole Biden years is such a fraud. I mean, obviously, they didn't need legislation. They literally just flew people in using taxpayer money, facilitated an invasion. It really is treasonous. And we talk about accountability. That's a whole other aspect of something that they could look into, the immigration policies that were just absolutely illegal. When you think about the fundamental purpose of a nation and sovereignty, I mean, they completely trampled all of that. So this is a huge thing that had to be done. It was hugely popular on the campaign trail. But also, I think more needs to be done as well. One of my top things would be that they did this year was deporting Kilmar Abrego Garcia, or whatever his name is, because, and many millions more like him, because this is destroying our country. It really is. And I know the deep state and the media tried to, you know, prop up this guy and to, oh, he was wrongly deported, which he was not. They tried to use this as like the poster boy, and this, the fake news is still like giving daily updates on this loser. But the fact that they stayed strong and they've continued deporting people like him and falling through on these promises, this is huge. And really the survival of our country depends on this. And you cannot import so many millions of people and expect your country not to change and not to be hurt. Obviously, we've seen the consequences of it, and there's more to do. But I think, you know, they got in there really fast, closed the border down, are expanding the operation. I think they need to keep going.
Yeah, I would agree with that on that front too. Liz, I want to ask you, we only have about like 90 seconds left.
A new high-tech search today for a plane that's
going to take it away from here. But I want to talk specifically about what your, some of your favorite moments are in regards to the Trump administration's first year back in the White House.
Yeah, definitely those two that you mentioned, but there's a lot more. I think the big, beautiful bill, and you got to kind of think of everything in the context of what would have been also, because this is, you know, again, we take it for granted, but if they would have been able to steal the 2024 election, like they did the 2020, we would not have a country. So you really have to think of the consequences and the contrast and how much work President Trump has had to put in to start turning this country around. So the tax cuts, big deal. And I think we'll start to feel that next year. And this country was really hanging by a thread. So people are kind of not as satisfied with how the economy has, you know, not turned back quickly enough, if they think. But it was a huge task. And now we just had one of my favorite moments, gas going down below $3 national average. I mean, it took us to December to get there. But I mean, that's huge. And that's going to keep going down. So that's a huge moment. One of my favorite other moments as well was a cabinet meeting back in April when Tulsi Gabbard, DNI, announced that the electronic voting machines have been used to manipulate elections. And that was a huge moment. Also hopeful that that's a sign of more things to come, because she's been working on that and other people working on that issue. That is a big deal. And I know President Trump hasn't given up on fixing our election. So looking into 2026, I expect to see more on that front. And that was one of my favorite moments, and also just personal moments of when President Trump, he went to the Fed and saw Drew Bell.
Liz, the commercial break's going to cut you off. Safe cut, though. We'll get you in just a second. We'll take you on the other side. Hold on 1 second.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do, yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said,
This was the best spike protein detoxer she'd found.
So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf. And I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just straight food. It's a different formulation than that one. And the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
It is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take it as it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here a year after the Onion said they bought us. We might actually hold on and win, but regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it and support us, we'll be off the air. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason, one way or another, we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.